Hello and welcome. My name is Holly Old and I'm an account director with Bennelong Funds Management. And I'm pleased to be joined today by Christian Rader, portfolio manager at Cardinia Capital. Welcome, Christian.
Hi, Holly. Good to be here.
Well, 2020 was an interesting and challenging year, but it feels like Cardinia did very well, remembering the dual mandate to both grow clients' money and protect it. And you managed to achieve both with flying colours. Cardinia spent most of the entire year in positive performance, drew down only 4% when the market, being the ASX 300, had a drawdown of 36% at its worst, and the fund finished the year up 9.1% versus the market of 1.7%. They're impressive numbers. Well done.
Thanks, Holly. Yeah, it was a trying year and thankfully it's now behind us.
Feels like these days we're slowly hearing less and less about COVID in the media. What's your views on the world and where we are heading?
Well, I think it's really the beginning of the end for COVID-19. I've seen it written somewhere that it's expected the pandemic will be over in 100 days. And to be honest with you, from all the global statistics that I've seen and what I've read, I tend to agree. It's had a devastating impact, no doubt about it, around the world. We've had 2.5 million people who have died from it. We've had $24 trillion worth of debt added to the system. But at the end of the day, we think that there is light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the pandemic. We've got three vaccines now being administered around the world. Obviously, you've got Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca. We have around 4% of the world's population that's currently been vaccinated. Some countries are clearly doing better than others. Israel is the poster child, I'd have to say, where around 55% of their population have received a single dose. What's really interesting about Israel is that we can see the effects of the vaccine on a large scale, a large sample size. And what we're seeing so far is incredibly positive. So around a 99% success rate, the Israelis are achieving in preventing COVID deaths and serious symptoms. In the UK, they've basically given one dose to around 34% of their population. In the US, it's around 18% of the population. And in both countries, case numbers are falling dramatically through the floor. If there's one laggard, it would be the EU. They've only inoculated around 6% of their population, but the Europeans actually make the Australians look pretty good. We've vaccinated less than 1% of our population. But as the doses and the vaccines continue to arrive on shore, we think Australia's vaccination program is going to ramp up quite quickly. We believe it's still on track to achieve full vaccination by the last quarter of 2021. So, you know, where we sit today, if you look at equity markets and debt markets, it's very clear that equity markets and debt markets are already looking through the COVID-19 pandemic. It's very much an issue in the rearview mirror. Markets are now much more focused on global growth and acceleration of global growth, the potential for inflation and the rising yield curve.
Fantastic. And you just mentioned bond markets there, Christian, and I feel at the moment there's a lot of discussion and commentary around rising bond yields. What does these rising yields mean for equities and how does this affect how you manage your portfolio?
Well, let me first say that the bond market is an order of magnitude larger than the equity market. It's a huge, deep and liquid market. And when the bond market moves, it often pays to take notice of it from an equity market perspective. Bond yields are incredibly important for equity markets because when you discount cash flows to arrive at a valuation for a company, we often refer to the 10-year bond market to calculate our discount rate. Now, as that bond yield increases, the discount rate will increase. And obviously, to kind of state the obvious, discounting cash flows back at, say, a 2% discount rate is going to achieve a lower valuation than discounting cash flows back at 1%. So it has very real-world implications for valuation and equity markets. The Fed and central banks have been very active in buying bonds at the short end of the curve. And what I mean by that is they've been active in buying bonds with a 1 to 3 year tenor. On the 10-year, if you go out to 10-year bonds, a lot of the central banks have been absent. They haven't been manipulating that end of the curve. So by being active in the short end of the curve, they're suppressing the prices on the short end, they're letting the long end rise, and you're seeing this steepening in the yield curve. The Federal curve, you know, the Federal Reserve is on record stating that they will allow rates to remain low until full employment is reached and until the rate of inflation exceeds their target of 2%. We've just recently seen the US savings rate soar from 12% to 20% between December and January, and that includes the Christmas period. That's an incredible statistic. That's very unusual. We've had Congress now just agree and approve further stimulus, which is going to result in $1,400 checks being sent out to US citizens. That will be arriving very shortly. So the bond markets is onto something. They can obviously sense strong economic growth and inflation coming down the pipe. Now, history would suggest that when inflation picks up to around 2.5% in a steepening yield curve environment, then P multiples will contract and it will impact equity markets. So to bring it back to equity markets in our portfolio, we're cautious bond proxies. The stocks in the utilities in the infrastructure space, we are very, very cautious of high P name stocks, which have done so well over the last couple of years in a low interest rate environment. And we're more positive disposed to hard assets like commodities and resources.
Fantastic. We've seen this in the past, haven't we?
Well, we've gone back and we've kind of looked at previous periods where the markets have been buffeted by rising interest rates and yield curves. And the last periods that we've identified, which is similar to what we're seeing today, was back in 2013, 2015 and 2016. I'd have to say 2013 is probably the most comparable period to what we've seen today. And back then, we had a number of months where markets really drew down quite aggressively. I think we had two periods where the market drew down 5%. We had quite a nasty 10% fall in the market in that year. But if you look over the entire 12-month period, the markets in 2013 were actually surprisingly strong. The Australian market was up 14%. So whilst it does introduce volatility on a month-to-month basis as the market adjusts to this new high-yielding environment, by and large, markets tend to see through it and climb that wall of worry. If you look at 2015, that was more of a mixed year, but 2016 was another strong market, another strong year for markets.
Yeah, interesting. So the next question I get asked a lot about is inflation. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, as we stand here today, I'd say that inflation is relatively benign. And what the bond market is really signaling is inflationary expectations. So that's inflation into the future. Having said all of that, there is some anecdotal evidence that inflation is starting to creep into the system. Many probably don't watch steel spreads particularly closely. And if you don't, I don't blame you. But steel is in huge demand at the moment in the US and also in Australia. And that's resulted in a significant jump in prices. And if you extrapolate that out further, there are many commodities which have been rallying over the last 6 months. If you're referring to iron ore, copper, nickel, they've all had seen a significant escalation in their prices. Now, these raw commodities are an important component of core inflation. And if these prices maintain their current levels for much longer, we expect to see evidence of inflation coming through in the future periods.
So I need to start following steel prices, is what you're saying. Okay, and just my last question, you know, with what you've outlined just then economically, how are you guys positioning the fund for the year ahead?
Look, if you look at our portfolio at the moment, we have a number of key thematics running through the portfolio. It's quite funny, we're looking at it the other day and having a bit of a smile because our portfolio does resemble the old barbell portfolio of the 90s where you have a decent exposure to resources, you have a decent exposure to financials, and then we also have good exposure to stocks that will benefit from the reopening of the economies. But if you look at financials and resources, they're also the two largest components of the ASX 300. And it's not by design, it's really just a function or an output of our bottom-up stock picking. But just really briefly in terms of resources, we've had the chairman of the Fed Reserve, Powell, basically come out and forecast US growth to achieve around 6% GDP growth this year, which is a huge number for the US economy. If you look at the CapEx for a number of these key metals, such as copper over the last few years, it's been suppressed. There's been very little money flowing into metal production and metal exploration. If you look at CapEx for oil exploration in the US with the change in the administration, we think that's possibly going to keep a cap on US production. US is obviously a large energy user and producer. China's economy is growing incredibly strongly. They've just moved 700 million people out of poverty one decade ahead of schedule. So if Chairman Powell is right and the US grows by 6% this year and Asia grows by a similar amount, we've just seen Japan clock up two quarters of 10% plus GDP growth, then we think the picture for resources is particularly bright.
Fantastic. And so let's talk a little bit about maybe the other side of the barbell, the bank scenario.
Yeah,
Yeah,
the banks, you know, if you look back over the last 5 years, it's almost been a perfect storm for the banks. You've had the Royal Commission, where the banks clearly didn't shroud themselves in much glory through that period. You've had restrictions on credit lending with responsible lending changes. You had the 2019 election, which spooked many property buyers with potential changes to negative gearing. Banking margins have come under a huge amount of pressure with the RBA dropping their cash rate. Currently sits at 10 basis points, which is a very low rate. And that creates a huge amount of headwinds for the banks and their profitability. And then, of course, you've had good old COVID in 2020. So almost a perfect storm. It hasn't been a great environment to be owning banks. We here at Cardinia have been basically naked banks. We haven't been participating in banks in a great deal for the last 5 years. In fact, we've been short a number of the banks and we've made good money out of it. But if you look at all those issues, many of these issues are now out of the way. We've just gone through reporting season. We had CBA announce their results. They've shown stronger revenues, improving margins, write back of provisions. What was really pleasing was a significant reduction in COVID-19 loan deferrals. We think that's really paving the way for potentially further capital returns at the full year results, future potential buybacks, but certainly a reinstatement of dividends. And on the broader perspective, if you look at the Australian economy, it's rebounded particularly strongly. We're seeing much more positive data across housing, consumer, business and employment.
Excellent. Fabulous. So we've touched on the two barbells. What about the kind of companies that you have in the portfolio that are accessing that reopening theme that you alluded to earlier?
Well, look, we've been talking to our clients for a long time now about reopening stocks or stocks that will be a beneficiary of the reopening of economies, reopening of borders. We've been pivoting the portfolio towards a number of these names for some time now. We really made the big change around middle of last year, and these names are continuing to perform very well. To give you a flavour of some of the key holdings in the portfolio, we hold Flight Centre, PointsBet, Vicinity Centres, which is a large shopping centre owner across Australia, the banks, which I've just spoken about, and Virgin Money UK. So kind of all in all, if I bring it all together, our general belief in markets is quite positive. We think markets will continue to go up. We do think there will be volatility that will be introduced to markets with the steepening in the yield curve. But having said that, we think markets will continue to climb that wall of worry, and we should finish the market up at a higher level than where we are today.
Fantastic. So it sounds like a bit of an interesting year ahead for 2021.
It's never a dull moment in the life of a fund manager in Australian equity markets.
Definitely not. Well, thank you for your time, Christiane, today. It's been a really great overview, and hopefully we've been able to provide some insights into how the current markets and how you guys are positioning the portfolio for the year ahead. The Cardinia Capital team produce regular updates via their thought pieces titled The Long and Short, the latest which was released last week. Please click the link in the show notes if you would like further information about these titles or further information on the Cardinia Absolute Return Fund.